amen. How many feel that pull this morning? And how many can say, I agree? And I agree with what the Lord is pulling me to. Amen. So, as the musicians have their seats, and we enjoy the song service, those beautiful songs. Amen. You know, God inhabits the praises of his people. You know, there's praise, there's worship. They're different. But he inhabits the praise of his people. And we have a lot to be thankful for, a lot to praise him for. And I want to just ask you to remember Brother Daniel and Sister Vicky as they're on their trip with the Lord. But I know the Lord is always doing great things there in troublesome times. So we just ask that the Lord would be with them, especially as they travel back. I know they're going to be tired in body. They obviously are. But we know God will keep them. And so we're just trusting them. Just keep them in prayer. Want to just to go ahead and open in Genesis chapter 2. I want to title this morning, Who is this Bride of Jesus Christ? Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 to 25. And the Lord God said, It is not good that man should be alone. I will make and help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now let's go to St. John chapter 1. St. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God and was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And one more place in the scriptures, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 through 4. 2 Corinthians 11. This is Paul speaking. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. I'll make a few comments on the scriptures after we pray. Lord, we just want to just take this service now. We give it to you. Lord, we are your people, the sheep of your pasture, and we recognize you as a great shepherd, and so, Lord, we're here to let you as a shepherd speak to us and feed us and deal with our lives today, Lord. So we just commit this time into your hands and just service these people, and we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. And you can be seated. So, So Genesis, I wanted you to take away from there the things to remember as we go through the service this morning. In Genesis there, that man and woman, he said, she is flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. They're one. Not as one, but they are one. And then in St. John, he is the Word, and all things were made by him. And then in 2 Corinthians, I want you to realize there that it is possible for someone to come and preach to you another Jesus. It's possible for you to receive another spirit or another gospel other than the one that we know is true. So who is this bride of Jesus Christ? And as I go through this morning, I want you to remember these things were spoken by a vindicated prophet ministry. Wouldn't mean anything if it wasn't in the Bible, but it is in the Bible. And so we want to be full beneficiaries this morning of what God has sent to us. Now, Brother Branham tells us that when God was going, we realize here at the end time, let me give a background here just for a moment. It's at the end time that God is going to go find this bride for Jesus Christ, right? It wasn't way back when. He's going to do it here at the end time. And so Brother Branham tells us, and I'll be reading a lot of quotes out of Invisible Union this morning, Invisible Union of the Bride of Christ. Brother Branham said that when God would go to find this wife for the Lord Jesus Christ, he would go to the same and find her in the same place that Jesus came from. That's what he tells us. And so we realize that he tells us that this was typed out in the scriptures when Abraham sent Eliezer to go find a wife for Isaac. So if you remember that in the scriptures there, that when it came time for them to get a wife for Isaac, the son of Abraham, Abraham told his chief steward, Eliezer, he said to him, he said, "Now I want you to go find this wife for my son Isaac, but I don't want you to take it from this place where we are now. I want you to go all the way back where we come from. And I want you to go, so back where Isaac come from, I want you to go back there and find that wife from back there, not from here." Because, you know, they were in a different land. And so we know the story that Eliezer went and found this wife. And Brother Branham, a vindicated voice in our day, now he's made the association, I'm not, but he made the association and said, this story, when God sent Eliezer to find that wife for Isaac, this story is a type, and it shows the pattern, and he said, God never changes his pattern. This is his pattern, and when he goes to find this wife for the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to follow this pattern. So God is not going to be looking around here for a wife for Jesus Christ. But he's going to be going back and finding the wife for Jesus Christ at the same place Jesus come from. And so, where did Jesus come from? We realize he is the Word. We just read that he is the Word. And he come from the mind of God. As we've been so wonderfully taught by the message that you cannot speak unless you have a thought first. And we realize that God is eternal. He does not have a beginning or an end. So when the scripture says, in the beginning was the Word, and it was with God, and it was God, I've explained this many times in the past, but before the beginning was eternity. But at some point, God in his program, as he began to unfold these things, there was what he calls a beginning. And that beginning is simply when he took his thoughts and he spoke it. When that Word came out, and so God, who is this invisible spirit, is now beginning to come forward himself, and he creates a body for him to dwell in, which is his Word. So this Word comes out, is spoken, and that's the very thing that God is going to go in and clothe himself in, so it's him. So that's why the scripture said, in the beginning was the Word, and it was with God, but it was God. See? So he sends forth this Word as though it's a son, the Logos, not in flesh yet, but just the spoken Word. He comes forth, and now in that form, God gets in that Word, and by that Word, he creates everything that's ever been created. Follow me? Right? So that's the very thing that God moves and goes forward in. But before the beginning, they just say there's God. But in the beginning, when that Word came out and he spoke it, right there at that moment, you could say, in the beginning was the Word, it was with God, and it was God. And all things were made by him. So this is where Jesus come from. Later on, that Logos Word took on flesh body. But before, prior to that, even in the Old Testament, he existed. He existed before this world existed. And so it's not three gods, it's just that one God who now has decided to come forward to express himself in creation and to reveal himself to his creation. And all of these are just different steps of that one God manifesting him and his plan. And so he came forth as the Logos, or the spoken word, the Son of God, because he came out from the Father. Your word comes out from you, and a son comes out from his Father. So that's why God can call this the Son. Amen. So now he comes forward. And this is where Jesus Christ came from. He came from the mind of God and came, he became the Word, and then the Word became flesh, and the Word manifested. So if God is going to look for this bride of Jesus Christ from the same place that Jesus come from, then it only stands true that we, or she, is the bride of Jesus Christ. She was the thought of God. She comes forth as the Word of God. And she comes at some point flesh and is manifested in this world as the bride of Jesus Christ. So when God is going to find her, he's not going to find her from this world. He's going to find her from where she come from, or where he come from. Amen. So now the scripture tells us that Jesus, he learned obedience by the things he suffered. Jesus, when he was born in this world, didn't know everything right off the bat. He was a human. He was flesh. That's the mystery of the whole thing, that this God who filled all space and time and all power and all wisdom and all that could somehow come down, humble himself, and condescend down and actually come into this world, actually come into the world of the lowest of men, being born in where animals sleep and so forth. God came down in such a low estate like that to be our Redeemer. And so in that form, he had to, as a human, he had to grow. As a human, he could get hungry. As a human, as a man, he'd get thirsty. He had to have sleep. The scripture said, was hurting in that he feared. Now, it wasn't the God part of him that feared, but that was the man part. That was the flesh part, which God, the Word, became the Word, and the Word became flesh. So what I'm trying to show you is that man that walked up and down the shores of Galilee, he was in flesh body just like you and I. He suffered things just like you and I would, and even could fear like you and I could. And he had a will of his own. He had to surrender to God just like you and I do. He's no different. Just that he was sinless. We're not. We didn't come in this world. We came in sin, but he came sinless. But my point is that the Word of God, God was manifesting himself, not as some great, majestic being, but God was manifesting himself as a humble little child that had to suck at mama's breast and had to grow and had to have his diaper changed. Jesus did. See? So what I want to try and show you is that we, even though we know that he was man, we still put him way up here, and he is way up there because he was sinless, but he's right down here because he's just like you and I had all the things to contend with that you and I. The scripture said he was tempted, tested in all points like as us, and yet without sin, and therefore he's able to help us when we're tempted because he's been through it all. He's been there. He knows what it's like. He knows how to sling the devil off to the side. And that's why he's a good counselor for us to go to when we have troubles and things. Right. And so Jesus had to learn, and he grew in revelation, and he grew into the place where he began to understand who he was. He wasn't born knowing that automatically, but he grew into those things and grew into that knowledge and in favor with God and man. Jesus had to go out and work as a carpenter when his dad told him, or not his dad, but Joseph told him, his earthly, what looked like his dad. See? But he had to grow into revelation, and he finally come to the place where he knew that who he was. He knew who he was. It had been revealed to him who he was. We know that even as an early age, at 12 years old, he already was about his father's business. So he already was growing into that because of who he was. So, but he had to understand those things. And he grew in revelation to find out who he is and to know who he is. And he believed that revelation that came to him. He believed it and he acted upon it and he understood it because it was revealed to him. So much to the degree that he said to them, you destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. That's what he told them. Now they thought he was talking about the temple that was built there. You know, the stones all stacked up and the majestic temple. But he was talking about this temple, the temple of his body, the temple of God. And so he said, if you'll destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up. And Brother Branham said this, and we'll read the quote in just a minute. But David spoke those words, and when David spoke those words, he was backslidden. And so Jesus, at the word spoken by a backslidden man, Jesus recognized that was thus saith the Lord, and he recognized that's who I am. I am that word that David spoke, even though David was in a backslidden condition. The plan of God and the work of God cannot be defeated. And because Jesus was the word, he could catch that word for the hour and become that word for the hour because that is the word he was. Right. Follow me? And so you see how it works. And so Brother Ben tells us in this sermon called Divine Healing, he said, but Jesus believed that he'd raise again in 3 days because he knew that in 3 days corruption would set in. And David said, I'll not leave my Holy One see corruption, I will not leave his soul in hell. Jesus said, you destroy this body in 3 days, I'll raise it up again. Within 3 days, he wasn't there exactly to the minute 3 days, but it was sometime within the 3 days, he had raised up again, for he knew that his body would go to rotting, or plain words, it would go into deteriorating and going away after 3 days. And he knew that not one cell would corrupt, for he said, I'll not suffer my Holy One to see a corruption. David said that. Jesus knew this. Brother Ram says, hallelujah. Jesus, with one single scripture spoken by a backslidden preacher under inspiration, believed it and trusted his soul to go to hell. So Jesus, and so what I want you to see there is as you look at that, Satan wants us so much to identify with the failures of the flesh. And if Jesus would have went down the pathway that you and I so often go down, when he would meditate on that scripture and say, you know, I think that's me, or I believe that's me, but how could that be? David was backslidden. How could that be inspiration? How could that be the word of God? But it was. And because it was the word of God, and Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of that, he could catch what that was. He could catch that revelation and actually act out what it was, because that was actually being spoken of what he is, what he was to be. Right. So, he was the word, so he recognized it, even though David had spoken. And so, the revelation Jesus had goes way beyond the limitations of anything Satan can put on you, on the flesh or whatever, to realize that because he was the word, he can catch the word. My sheep know my voice. Right. Obviously, he would. He'd know the word, voice of the word because it was him. But I'm saying that because it's the same with you and I. That we're here in this world and we can catch the revelation of God's word because of who we are down inside. Not because of failures, not because we're backslidden, not because, you know, you have preachers preach to you throughout your life. They're all sinners saved by grace. They all have failures, but yet they speak the word of the Lord to you. The scriptures are written by men. They all were failures. Right? They ever won. And yet God's word is embedded right there in those people, bringing forth his eternal, his plan of redemption. So the weaknesses of man doesn't stop God. He deals with it, but it does not stop him. So this bride has to be the same. She comes to understand who she is in the scriptures. She begins to realize that these things that are written and these things that have been spoken, and regardless of what appears to be weaknesses in the flesh and so forth, she comes to realize it is thus saith the Lord, because she has the word in her and that's speaking of her. So she recognizes that, and she comes to the place where she realizes that no matter what happens, they cannot stop her from coming forward and being what he's made her to be. What he's called her to be. They can't stop it. And so just like he could say, you can just destroy this, it don't make a difference, whatever. You ain't going to hold me because I'm coming forth. Right? Because can't see corruption. She must come to that same resolve in her walk and to realize that we're not just people deciding to go to church one day. There's something that's happening inside us that started long before that, and it supersedes all things that Satan tried to throw on top of humanity and on top of you. God's program still comes forth anyhow. So she'll never be kept back. Now, Brother Ram tells us that this whole concept of him going to find her back there in the same place where Christ comes from, he said, you can see in this, when you look at this, you can see the two books of life. And he said, there's a book of life, and then there's a Lamb's book of life. And the book of life is a record of your deeds in your natural life, your natural birth, born by man and woman, and perhaps I'll read some of the quotes. I may skip some of them because I got seven pages here. But so your natural life that was born by man and woman associated with sexual affair and brought you in a natural birth, that life and that life that you live and all the deeds that you do under that life is recorded under the book of life. It's not recorded under the Lamb's book of life. It's recorded under the book of life. That's what the scriptures tell us. And so that is a record of your works. It's a record of your successes. It's a record of your failures. It's a record of your sins. All the deeds that you do in the natural life is recorded in that book. Right? And you know that no person can be saved by their works.
Right.
So I don't want God looking on that book. Follow me? You don't want him looking on that book to see whether you can be the bride of Christ or not.
Right.
So that's the book of life. But then Brother Graham says now, he says, we were born in this whole sermon. You should go listen to it. He said, it was less than a month before God took him. Invisible union of the bride of Christ. He's showing there is an invisible union of the bride of Christ. The bride with Christ having a union here on earth while we're here. It's invisible, but it's happening. And with that concept, he says, now, you had a husband to begin with that had rule over you. And he was your boss. And that husband that had rule over you is your first birth. And so that book of life record of all your successes and failures, that's your husband. He was a cruel leader over you, and his leadership over you caused you to live in sin because you were born underneath that. And so that record of the book of life, that is the first husband you had. And so Brother Ben comes along, he says, now you've got to die to that man. He's got to die out to you. Right? He says you can't just divorce him, can't just put him away. He has to die every speck of him in order for you to be able to be married to Jesus Christ. The old man had to die so you can be born again, have a new birth. And so you find out that when he dies, he has no more control, no more dominion over you. And he must die because in the natural, if a man and woman divorce and she goes off and marries somebody else, chances are she's going to run into the other guy into her old husband at some point in the grocery store. And if he's always hanging around, there's all kinds of troubles, and there's all kinds of, you can understand. So what works best is if he actually dies, and then the scripture said she's free from the law, she can be married to another, and it's totally legal in the eyes of God as long as he's dead. But if he ain't dead, he still influences you. Then if you try to marry Christ, it's illegal in the eyes of God. So he tells us that old husband was, you know, that's the book of life. That's all the things that controlled you in your natural sinful desires and your natural sinful birth. And so I'll do some of the reading, and it's rather lengthy, but it's God's word. Amen. Invisible union said life is a sacred thing to God, and it's recorded in a book. God is the author of life. Do you believe that? Our natural life here, we have here, is just a perversion. It really should be the right life to begin with, but it's perverted by natural birth. The first life of your first union, where you were joined at birth by nature, a natural act, a natural human being associated man and woman together, associated together in sexual affair, which brought your first life here, and that's associated with sin and death. Now, its nature is associated with death, and your first husband that ruled over you was your nature by your natural birth. Naturally, you love the world because you are the world, and part of the world is in you, right? Is that right? Your desires was by nature to love the world, but which you're part of it. You're part of nature. You believe that? And that's your natural thing. That's the reason you have to be born again. You have to separate. You have to die from the first husband. You can't just live with her. You can't just say, well, I'll divorce him and hang him up here till the occasion. No, sir. No writing of divorcement. He dies. The nature of the world has to die. Every speck of him has to die. You have to be reunited with another nature. I want to show you something there as we read these. He said you have to be reunited with another nature. That means you were there at one point anyway in order for it to be reunited. You had to be there to begin with. And so he goes on to tell us that when that man dies, he didn't say that the book of life was the marriage certificate of the old man, but he does tell you that the Lamb's book of life is your marriage certificate. So if you take that and you go back and say, well, that book of life, then that was a record of who you were married to. Okay? And so when that man dies, then Brother Graham says, now your name is taken from that book of life, a record of your deeds, of your successes, your failures, a record that you cannot make it by. Your name was taken from that and transferred to the Lamb's book of life. What the Lamb redeemed, which is by grace, not by merits, not by works, but by grace. Just simply by grace, and goes back to the situation with Abraham where Brother Ben said with God said to Adam, if you do this, then I'll do that. And man failed. And so when he came to Abraham, he made a covenant with Abraham, and that covenant was without condition. He said, I've done it. So Abraham didn't have to do anything. He just believed, and he was justified by his faith. And so when your name is transferred from the book of life and put on the Lamb's book of life, and Brother Ben said, now that's your marriage certificate. It's by grace. It's not by works. And so he tells us in there, he says, now, you never did it in the first place. You never sinned in the first place. Because he said, how does this happen? How does God do this? God, he said, by the blood of Jesus Christ, God takes that record of that book of life where all your deeds and everything, he takes that and he throws it in the sea of his forgetfulness. He doesn't remember it anymore. There's no record of it. And he transfers your name and puts you under the Lamb's book of life. By grace, there's no mark against you. And he said, under that, you are justified. And justified is not that you did it, but you're forgiven. Justified is as though you never did it in the first place. Yeah. Now, you're going to remember it. Satan's going to remember it and try to accuse you of it. But before God and in God's court, he doesn't see it. There's no evidence of it. And so when he says it's your marriage certificate, we're talking about in the court of God, before God. What does he say is right and not right? Not right. And so when it's your marriage certificate, the marriage certificate shows who you're legally married to. So when you put your name on the Lamb's Book of Life, which becomes your marriage certificate, that is a record of who you're legally married to. Amen. We'll read some more. This is lengthy, but you just bear with me. He's talking about now when you're born again, you've separated. When you're separated from your first union by spiritual death, now you're born again or you're remarried to the new spiritual union. Not your old natural life of the things of the world, but eternal life. The germ that was in you at the beginning found you. Must have been something there that was going to make sure you came. The germ that was in you at the beginning found you. Now your old book is gone with the old union. Now your name is on in your old has been transferred. And now you say, do you mean to tell me my old book, God put it in the seat of forgetfulness, of his forgetfulness. You stand perfectly before God. And now your name is on the new book, not the book of life, but the Lamb's book of life. What the Lamb redeemed. Not your old book of your natural union, but your new bride, hallelujah. Your new life is in the Lamb's book of life, your marriage certificate, hallelujah, where your true eternal germ from the beginning takes hold. So now there he is again. That true eternal germ, it takes hold. It didn't take hold under the book of life record of all your failures and sins and all that, but it takes hold under the record of the Lamb's book of life. That's where it takes hold. Remember, he has to go all the way back there to find her. Okay? He said, now you're not only forgiven, but you're justified. Glory, justified. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified. He said, look up the word. The word does not mean forgiven. The word means justified. It don't mean you're forgiven. For instance, you heard that I got drunk and done some evil things, and you come around saying you found out that I didn't do them, and you come and say, Brother Branham, I forgive you. He said, forgive me. I didn't do it in the first place. And now if I did it, I am guilty, but I could be forgiven. And I wouldn't be guilty, but yet I'm not justified because I actually did it. But the word justified is as though you never did it in the first, never did it, amen. And it's not even regarded at all. How is it done? In God's book of the seal of forgiveness, your old book and marriage is divorced and dead and isn't even in the memories of God. Amen. You're justified. Therefore, being justified, you were accused, but you never did it in the first place. The old union is in the sea of God's forgiveness. You wasn't married to begin with. He, the bridegroom, bore your shame himself for you in your place. He took your place for you. You were predestinated for him to be his bride before the foundation of the world. The Bible said so. You are a predestinated seed. How did you come to this? You were deceived into it by your first marriage to your adulterous parent Eve. It's not your fault of your own, but your natural birth. You come after Eve who committed adultery. That's the reason you was born in adultery. Adulterous. You was a sinner to begin with, all right? You was deceived into it. It ain't your fault. You never did it because that little germ that was in you was to be you before the foundation of the world. And God put your name in the Lamb's book of life. So in the beginning was the Word. And if the Word was God, then you were in God. The Word, the part that you are to play. He's telling you right there, as I read, in the beginning was the Word. And he said, if that's the case, then you were there. The part that you are to play today was in God right then. And he spoke it and sent you forth. The part that you were to play in God was in God before the foundation of the world. He seen you. He knew you. Predestinated you. And then he speaks about the eagle story. How that eagle sees who he is, has a desire to be like the eagle, even though it was born in the chicken pen. And a man that's born of God, a son of God, has to have the nature of God, has to be like God. He honors God. He's part of the Word of God. In these last days of his bride taking form, just exactly the same power that he was in the beginning. He's come up through these organizations and so forth out to the bride, and he can't be nothing else. We're familiar with Brother Brown talking about the plant of the wheat plant. That you plant that seed and it comes up in a stalk, and then it comes out in the tassel, and it comes out to be the shuck, and then it has to be the grain. And he shows us that all of that is the wheat plant. But there comes a time at the end that all of those carriers, he calls them carriers, the stalk and the tassel and the shuck, all of that has to die because all the life goes into the grain at the end. So we're not saying that the churches down through the ages didn't have God. They did have God. But in this hour, they don't. Because it's all going to the seed. It's all going into life. And that's why he said what he did there. He said, let me find it again. Why he said this. Talking about Christ coming up through the ages of the churches, coming up through the talk. He's come up through these organizations and so forth and come out for the bride. He can't be nothing else but that. So Christ has to come all the way out to an end time church that is the grain just like the original grain. He can't do anything but that. Amen. You was deceived at the beginning by your first marriage. Now you know what's true. Just like the eagle, when he heard that bridegroom's voice, he went to it. The anointed vindicated word for the last days. Noah had a vindicated word for his day. Do you believe that? Well, his message won't work today. Moses was a vindicated word for his day. Do you believe that? Wouldn't work for Jesus today. John had a vindicated word. You believe that? It won't work for these days. Certainly not. No, sir. The law and prophets were until John, but since then the kingdom of heaven. Now notice, the anointed word of his day, of which you are part by predestination. You immediately, like when you heard that, you knew right quick you was an eagle. You realized that you wasn't a denomination of chicken to begin with. You know that there was something wrong, and that's right, for you know you were trapped at the beginning. He, the bridegroom, took away your shame and put it in the sea of forgetfulness by the washing of the water of the word, by the blood and the blood of life. That's what the Bible said. Now, your first marriage husband you were married to the world, the anointed bridegroom, which foreordained you, has washed you with the washing of the water of the church. That don't sound right. You might find that in the Almanac, but not in God's Bible. But the washing of the water by the word, you are standing completely justified, though you never did at the beginning. This is my message to the church now as we go off the air in just a minute. You're standing. If you're standing on God's word, with God's word, every amen, every jot, every tittle, where are you standing? I'm trying to tell you, pull away from these shucks and get out here where the wheat, where you can be ripened in the sun. I hear the coming of the combine. You're standing completely justified, just like you never did it in the first place. Hallelujah. You talk about a Thanksgiving. I feel real good. I'm more thankful for that than any other thing I know. You are a pure, virtuous, sinless bride of the Son of the living God. Every man and woman that's born of the Spirit of God, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and believes every word, stands as though you never sinned in the first place. You are perfect because the blood of Jesus Christ did that. So, sorry about the lengthy reading there, but it's hard to follow his Kentucky grammar sometimes of reading, and I'm not the best reader in the world to begin with. So, you have the book of life, you have the Lamb's book of life. And when he put your name on the Lamb's book of life, that's the record that God goes to. God does not go to the book of life, which is your life here, to see if you're the bride of Christ or not. Where he goes to find you is he goes to that predestinated record that was done before the foundation of the world. And that's where he finds you. Now, and Brother Raymond says, all that record of the old book, all that was done away with by the blood of Jesus Christ, he said, you wasn't even married to begin with. You've got to come to this revelation. Right. You've got to come to grips with this and come to comfort with this to know that he's taken away your sins. And that, yes, God lives in you. And that he's fulfilling the word for this hour in you. You have to believe that. Because that's exactly what it is. That all that record, though you remember it and Satan remembers, maybe people around you remember it, but before God, he don't remember it. He doesn't remember one thing about it. But all he sees is, hey, when he looks and he says, I don't see no bad thing here. All I see is the sinless, perfect bride of Jesus Christ. Why? Because that was given to us by grace in the mind of God before the world was. And when he speaks something, can that word fail? It can't fail. Not one bit. And so, Brother Ram tells us, he said, now, you never did it in the first place. And this may sound like a play on words, but I want to ask you a question. Where were you in the first place? Where were you in the first place? The first place you were was there. and you never did it there. But it's when you came here, tricked into it, a shotgun wedding, you come into this world with that nature because of the fall, but that's not really you. And before God, the blood has taken that away, so that's not even there. You were never, there's no record of being married. Now Satan's going to go and say, I tell you, she was married to this guy. And God's going to say, I have no record of that. I do not see that. The record I have in my court says that she's the sinless, perfect bride of the Lord Jesus Christ from before the world was. Follow me? This is what he told us. This is what the prophet says. This is what Scripture shows us. You don't get this in denominational teaching because it's not for them. They don't see it that way. It hasn't come to that clarity to them, but it has to his bride. So God looks at, he looks at a record and says, does she come from the place Jesus come from? Yes, she does. She's the Word made flesh. He looks to see where her origin is. There's where she come from. And she came from the mind of God. And says, okay, that's the one. That's the bride of Jesus Christ. To see that she is the Word also, just like he's the Word. And you realize that the Word in the bride has the same nature as the Word in her husband. The Word in the bride today, that life that she's living by that expression, has the same nature that his nature was. It'll be rejected, but it's the same nature. Won't be something different. Your brother Branham says, you know, if he married somebody that was contrary to his own thoughts, there'd be a continual fuss and fight all the time. So we have to understand this. So God said, don't hybrid. Right in his word, he said, don't hybrid stuff. So how could Jesus Christ, the Word, come and find someone to marry who's not the Word? Because if he came to marry someone who wasn't the Word, it'd be a hybrid. And he's not going to break his own laws, right? You follow me? So she has to be. Listen, there's something in him, in you, that he's attracted to, and that thing that's in you that he's attracted to is the Word. And that's what he's marrying. I'll read another quote here in just a minute where Brother Van tells just a little bit more about it. And so, he's not going to hybrid. He's going to marry the Word. That's the thing we have to, that's the thing that's, you know, for us, get over this to understand. Me? I mean, I'm familiar with my failures and my faults. Yeah, but his blood takes all that away and puts you in a place where he doesn't see that. And you have to accept that by grace. It's when, could you imagine the King of the universe coming to you and saying, would you marry me? You would have to have grace enough just to say, yes, I will. You'd have to understand that he really wants you. Well, why does he want me? Because there's something in you that he sees. And that's why he wants you. Amen. So he's not going to have to marry the Word because she's the Word too. And you realize when he comes, he is the Word of God, and he's all Word. There's not some portion of him that's not. Right? He's all Word, and here we are at the end time. We're going to have this marriage, this wedding at the end time, and the bride of Christ, in order to marry Christ, she has to meet him. She has to meet him. She has to accept what he has to say. She has to embrace him. She has to go through that spiritual union. In order for her to go home with him at the end of the day in the rapture, she has to meet him. Right? And what is he? The Word. All Word. So, you see, when denominations take the Word of God and mix it with man's ideas and man's creeds, it's another Jesus. It's another doctrine, and you'll receive another spirit. And that's why in this hour, God had to send a message that was not in denominations. Because if he came through denominations, it would be another Jesus because they mixed that word with something else. So he had to bring a message that was outside of that altogether, no denominational teaching whatsoever, the pure word. She has to meet and encounter the pure word in order to marry the pure word. Follow me? Otherwise, and so that's the whole thing. So there had to be a message rise up that was totally outside of all that. And this is why it's so important for you and I to throw everything away that is not thus saith the Lord, and take and embrace this Jesus Christ who is standing before us now, who is pure word, purely brought forth by the revelation of the seven seals. He's standing before us, no blemish in him, and that's what you want to marry. And you say, well, but, you know, we taught it back here, and so, yeah, I think the message is right, but I think Brother Raymond was wrong here. And we're going to do this. It's another Jesus. Because when you mix seeds, you have a hybrid. And you know with hybrids, there's no life in it. That's it. That's all you get. So it's the same way with the gospel. You cannot accept some other man's teaching. You've got to take what God has vindicated, thus saith the Lord, a pure word representation of Jesus Christ has been brought to us today, and that's who we marry.
Right.
That is our bridegroom. And so, she's the pure word also, because she come from God.
Right.
Not in her flesh, realize. But she come from there, and so there's something in her that recognizes that pure word because she's the pure word also. Because he's not going to marry something that's part word. Follow me? God's not going to do that. So he's going to marry, and so you've got to realize, hey, what God's doing down in me, the work that he has started, he will finish, and what he's doing in me is a perfect word, and I'm going to believe that. I'm not going to look at my failures, my successes, and all that stuff. I'm not going to look at that record, which has been done away with. I'm strictly going to look at the fact that I'm hearing him ask me, will you marry me? I'm hearing him call my name off that book. That Lamb's Book of Life is my marriage certificate, and he's letting me see that book. He's letting me see that my name is there. My life is there. And that's how I know he's asking me, will you marry me? Because he's given me this revelation. That's why you know. And the rest of the world doesn't get that. They're not hearing it because it's not for them. And the reason why you can't hear that is because you are that word to begin with anyway. And everything else that's not that word, he has taken care of that and pushed it to the side and put it in the sea of forgetfulness. And you've got to walk as though that's the way it is, because that is how it is. So you can't keep saying, yeah, but I got this other book and I got this. No, forget that other book. If you make a mistake this afternoon, you do the same. Put it on the blood. And that's where it goes. And believe it. And by grace and humility, walk, accepting the invitation. Lord, I know you're showing me these things. And to me, why me? But I believe you. I believe there's something in me that's part of you that your prophet has told us was with you before the world was. And I believe that. So, the fact that he's even sharing this with you is his proposal to you. And so, while you believe this word, there is an invisible union between you and him that takes place. And then, this message is the message that's calling us out of Babylon. Come out of her, my people, to be part of him, so we don't receive the judgments that's coming to all that hybrid system. But of course, when she identifies with him, she gets persecuted. She's rejected. We know that to be true. So I'm getting in the final home stretch here, what I want to say. So God was manifest in Jesus Christ in his flesh. And as I said a little while ago, in his flesh, he needed food, right? Friends, do you have here any meat? He broke bread with them. In the natural, he needed food. In the natural, he needed rest. He needed to sleep. He's down in the bottom boat, sleep. In the natural, he had all the things to contend with, if you and I. And yet, in that flesh that would stink if he didn't take a bath, in that flesh, God was manifested. The plan of God was manifested. And he was acting out. It couldn't be that just in the spirit realm he'd die on Calvary. No, he had to die on Calvary in his flesh. He had to suffer in the flesh to to make this eternal plan of redemption have force, he had to suffer and act out in the flesh in a body that would stink if he didn't take a bath, needed food, needed rest, and could have fear. Are you like that? Then what's the difference between you and him? You said, well, but he was sinless. I just told you, so are you.
Right.
You're sinless too. Not because you came sinless, but because he has taken that from you. And so now, if you're standing here as the sinless, perfect bride of Jesus Christ, the daughter of God, you're like that, and yet you're in flesh, and you're like, but I can't because I'm in flesh. He did too. He won our redemption in flesh, suffering in the flesh, and beat the devil on every side. Then what are you going to do as the bride of Christ? You're going to be in flesh. You're going to suffer. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be hungry. If you don't take a bath, it's going to stink. Right? But the Word of God is manifested in you right now on display in flesh. That it needs to eat. That says, hurry up, Brother Tony, I'm hungry. That needs to eat, that needs to drink, needs rest, that would stink if you don't take a bath. Jesus, if he would have laid there for 4 days, he would have stunk in his flesh. You're the same. What I'm showing you is that through the plan of redemption, you have just as much ability and right to fulfill the word for your hour as he did, because he's made it that way for you. Under the blood, as the scripture said in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Right now, there's no condemnation. See, in the book of life, there's condemnation, but not in the Lamb's book of life. And so this is what we've got to identify with. We've got to stop identifying with all this other stuff and identify with the Lamb's book of life, what the Lamb redeemed, which has been there all along, and we just now have found out who we are and where we come from. We found out that we're not that chicken over on the book of life, but we're the eagles from the Lamb's book of life. We were just raised in a chicken pen. But now at the end time, we've had a great eagle fly over us and scream out. And we found out that down inside, I know I did, back in Pentecost, I had a hunger to the word. My Aunt Mary might remember, see? I had such a hunger, and I found out when the message come across my pathway, this was the answers I was looking for.
Right.
Why? Because I heard something scream out, and Brother Rem said, that little fella down inside, he had something already in him that was to be that. He just didn't know it, and it took that scream to make him realize who he was. And so when this message came and screamed out to you, you realize, wait a minute, I've went to all these other churches, but they never answered the call, the deep call in my heart, and this has answered it. And that's why Brother Rem gave that story about the eagle being raised in the chicken pen. Because that's who we are. We are not that record of the book of life. We are on the record of the Lamb's book of life.
Right.
We are saved by grace by that record. Now listen, just as a little sidetrack, just for a moment. When you get to the end of the millennium and there's a resurrection there, those people aren't saved by grace. Because they missed it. And when you read, they are judged according to their deeds in the books. So they, and it says book of life there, not Lamb's book of life. See? And some people get in because they were good to the brethren. So there are some people over there by the skin of their teeth, as it were, as Job would say. That's where that phrase comes from. Job used it. That they make it in because they were good to the bride or good to the brethren, but they're judged by their works, and that scripture said, and if their name's not found in the book of life, then they're cast to the lake of fire. So at that time, at that hour, they better be found in that book. But over here, we don't want to be in that book. We want to be under the Lamb's book of life.
Right.
By grace to be saved. Otherwise, we're going to wind up over there and be judged out of that book of life. So we don't want our names in the book of life. We want it transferred to the Lamb's book of life. And that's what we want to live by.
Yeah.
That's the revelation we want to walk in every day.
Right.
The Lamb's book of life. And that's, there's no difference between you and him except that he was sinless, just come in this world, sinless. You came in the world with sin, but he's taken it away. And now you stand here, flesh, to manifest the plan and program of God in this hour. And you can do it just like he did. And you will do it. Amen. So you find out that we are Christ in this world. When those seven angels appeared over the Arizona out there, and it showed up in Life magazine, and there it is, perfect. You can't deny it. Same pose as Hoffman had of Christ that Brother Branham 7 years before that on tape was saying, when I seen him, he looked like Hoffman. And that's why I have Hoffman in my home, because it looked more like what I seen when I seen him. That's why I have it. And when those angels appeared, they formed that same pose of Hoffman head of Christ right there in the clouds, right there in the sky with those angels. What was that, though? That was the head of Christ coming down. Where's the body? Who is the body? His bride is his body. So he came down, and I ask you, where is he now? His head is sitting on the body. And the last time I looked, this body does what this thing says. So the bride is the one who obeys the word. And that word has shown that he has come down. And now we realize that we are Christ, because his presence is here with us, and we're acting out what he is. We're the final voice. Nobody else. And you find out Brother Graham comes along, and you can see this in the scriptures, that life must come through the body. You remember, Peter went and got, you know, they went and got Peter to take him to Cornelius, right? Why didn't the angel just say, Cornelius, you're saved? Because the angel couldn't do that. Because life had to come through the body. And Peter was part of the body of Christ. So Peter had to come down there and preach that gospel to them. And then they were born again. Birth took place. A birth takes place through the body. My daughter's going to have a baby on Tuesday. Pray for her. We'll pray for her in a little bit. But she's going to have a baby. That baby's born through the body. That's the only way you can get it. There has to be the male and the female. Brother said you can have all the chicken, but if there's not a rooster, they're dead. So it comes through the body and the body alone. And so this gospel, if there is birth that's going to be birthed into the kingdom of God, it's because it's through the body of Christ, the ministry and the work that we're doing. Well, if you've accepted another Jesus, no births. It won't be his birth. Let me put it that way. There's birth all the time, like Brother Ram said. She's praying for it all the time in all these other churches. But it's not the life of Christ, because it's a different Jesus. So genuine births of this day, genuine born-again experiences, we're not talking about, oh, I shouted up. Everybody can do that. We're talking about birth to the Word. Only comes through the body of Christ, where he's come down and she's obeying the word of the hour that's been revealed. And that's where births take place. Nowhere else. That's a hard thing to say, but the word is saying this. And I'll ask you this. You know the fruit. You know their works and stuff to declare what it is, right? You know them by their fruits. So what do you see out there? What do you see in the denominational world? Christ-like, because it's a different Jesus. So the heads come down to the body, and now births take place through the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That makes us the final voice in the final age. Now, I'll read one more thing here, one more quote. Following through these pages. The next night after invisible union, let me just say this too. You know, Brother Rand preached a sermon called The Choosing of a Bride. And in that message early on in 65, The Choosing of a Bride, he told us what Jesus Christ is going to look for in a bride. You should go listen to it. He told us what he's going to look for. And then later on, I believe it was in Ashamed, I don't remember for sure the name of the sermon, but he said he kept having dreams. And I know I've shared this with some of you in the past, but he kept having dreams. And like he was ratting on God's, not doing his work or whatever. And he got to tell about how he used to take money. They gave him money for breakfast, and he'd go buy it for the kids because he didn't want it. And he got to thinking maybe God was holding that against him because he was feeding these kids instead of himself. And he'd turn in a ticket for just a few cents, and the people in the place he worked made fun of him. So who is this knothead to turn in such a small ticket like that? And Brother Brennan said, well, maybe I keep having these dreams like I'm not doing what I'm supposed to, like I'm ratting on my job. And he's like, why? Well, he kept dreaming, and he tried to. And so it all unfolded. Eventually, he realized that when his job was, and he knew this, when he put his finger on the scriptures, and it was Eliezer to go get that wife rising, he said, cold chills went over him. He said, that's my ministry. So here he is in the middle of 65, after he's preached, choosing a bride to let us know what the Lord Jesus Christ is going to choose. And here he says, I better get busy. I still got to go find that bride. Wife. And then later on, he preaches choosing of a bride. And then the next night, not choosing a bride, the invisible union of the bride of Christ. And then the next night, he preaches works is faith expressed. And W-I-F-E, works is faith expressed. Works. To believe the message that God has sent us and put it into action. Works is your faith expressed. And I asked you, is that what Jesus did when he walked up Calvary? He took the revelation that he had as a man, that he was that living word. He put it into work to show that his faith was there, and it was an expression of it. And so the wife becomes works as faith expressed. And so I'll read to you here. He mentions this book of life again. And he said, just last night speaking, you, when you get the book, you're going to make me a little bit confused what I said. There are two books. It's the same book, but one of them is your natural birth and the other is your spiritual birth. One leads out. Remember I said about the life that's in the grain going out through the all the way out to the wheat? One leads out to the other just like a stalk of wheat. Whenever you talk to me as a living person, but there's a part of me here of that person that must perish. So it's a part of me that must perish. That's the book that the name comes off of. But the eternal one, the predestinated one, the elected one, the name can never come off from there because it was always there and it can never be taken off. You'll notice it in the book, so it'll save your confusion. You'll find it that way because I think Brother Bale, who's putting the right grammar to it, reminded me of that today, and I said, that's right. The Baptists believe that there's two separate books, and in one way it is two separate books, and in another way it isn't two separate books. He said, I'm two separate people. I'm body, soul, and spirit. Three separate people, he said, but I'm only one makes me a being. And there's only one real book of life, like there was one germ of the wheat that come up through the stalk and went out through the tassel, and out through the husk and into the wheat, all the way along. And you say, now, that's a wheat laying there. Well, it isn't wheat. It's a stalk. But together it's wheat. See? And it's the wheat. It's the wheat because it's all one stalk, but the wheat is what you're talking about, the grain at the end of it. The others was carrier, and it must perish. And that's the one place it sounds like you have your name taken off the book of life, and the other place you can't. So that's where it is. It's all in that great revelation there, which was made known in the time of seven seals, and why some people can't believe it. So he said that. So he caps that off and telling you that, see, this is the way it works. So there's a part of you that perishes, but there's a part of you that can't perish. But he said, this one leads out into that one. It takes your flesh and life here, and it takes all the things and all the things that have come. It takes all that to get you to become the grain. And once you become that grain, all those things that you were of old perishes, passes away. And eventually, in a body change, it all passes away. But the teachings and the ways and the thinking and the mindset of a fallen man, all that, we come away from all that was in part that had to be there. I mean, I had to be born, and I had to be born in flesh nature with the nature to sin and lie and all that for me to come along to the place where I could hear a message and believe. And so would you. But it takes all that, but it leads leads all the way out here to the thing that you were predestinated to begin with all along. And that's the only thing that God is looking at. That's who this bride is.
Right.
That's who she is. What a message that God has given us. It's a lot to take in. But brother, sister, he's proving to us, as every day goes by, he's proving to us that this is right.
Amen.
There's one thing that's going to stand, and it's this. And you know, to minister to you, you know, it's not my idea just to get you to come to church. It's not my idea just to say, praise God, Brother Tony. But what I want, I trust to be pure with the scriptures, is that you come to this understanding and this revelation with you that you don't even need me. And I'm not saying you wouldn't go to church, but I'm saying is that you come to the place where you're seasoned, the greenness is all baked out of you, and you're ready for rapture yourself because you have this revelation and you understand it and you believe it and you don't doubt it. Though you have to suffer and to get you to that spot. Because when it comes time for you to leave here, I can't go with you. But this revelation will.
Yeah.
See? And that's where we got to get you. And I want you to come, and I want you to rejoice, and I want you to shout, and I want you to praise God, and whatever the Holy Spirit has you, I want you all that, but I want you to be able to walk straight when you get down, when you come down out of it. I want you to have that true revelation in there so that if they shut the doors to this place tomorrow, you'd still go right on with God, praising him, knowing who you are. That's where we've got to get you to. Because at rapture morning, we're probably not going to be in church. We might, I don't know, but we're probably not going to be in church because there's a squeeze coming. And they're going to shut the doors and all that. And who knows what they're going to do. And you can see it. Oh, you know what's on their mind. It's clear now. Used to be we just heard it in the message. Oh, this is what's coming. Look out there. You can see it. This is what they're going to do.
Right.
No question about it. So we want to be ready for that. And the way to be ready is to be totally dead to these things and alive in Christ Jesus to the revelation of the Word.
Right.
Amen. Amen. This revelation shows you that you're part of him all along. Amen. God bless you. Let the musicians come. You love him?
Yeah.
It's true. It is true. Everything he does is perfect. And yet he uses imperfect people to speak through, to live through. Amen. Let's just pray. Lord, we thank you for this time of fellowship around your word. Ask of God that you would just seal this away to the hearts of your people. Lord, that they would rejoice in it. Anything, Lord, that they don't understand, I pray you give spiritual revelation to fill the gaps, Lord, of anything where I may have missed something, Lord. We trust you, Lord, that you're among this group and that you are leading us to that hour of rapture, this hour of perfection manifested in us, Lord. We know only that you can do it. So we trust, God, that you'll take this little group and you'll continue to move and work through us and give us one victory on top of another as we go forward in your name, as we rejoice in these things, as we accept them and embrace them, and have the grace and humility to know that you're showing us these things because we're your choice. That's a big thing to say. We trust, Lord, that we are. We ask you, God, it be so. And so we ask in Jesus' name these things.
Together, word all together, word made.
you love it. Yes. Amen. You come down and made it possible. You look out at these politicians, and they're supposed to be servants of the people. But you see what they're doing. And you know, you're not supposed to have your confidence in them. You're supposed to have your confidence in the only one that really could do it, and the only one that did do it. And I think as you go on a little bit further in time, all the hopes that you had in America, you'll find out Brother Randall's right. You got to put your confidence in him, because it's all fading away. Amen. So let Sister Ann and Brother Jordan come up and ask for prayer to